title this morning is called All In. All In. Turn to your neighbor and say, brother, are you all in? Sister, are you all in? All in. It's like overheating. All in. So I encourage you to bring out your phone, pull up the Bible app. We're going to go to Joshua chapter 2, starting in verse 1. But before we do, according to a study done a little while ago, 75% of young people aged 16 to 25, which most of us in this room are, between a number of countries, felt that the future is frightening. 75% of young people, 75% young people worried through a number of countries, the future looks frightening. Does the future look frightening to you? 60% extremely worried. 45% worried. Climate change. Oh my gosh, the end of the world. 50% anxious, angry, powerless, helpless, guilty about what's going on in the world. 55% seems like there's fewer opportunities than what we had in the past. Afraid of the future. You know, many people are concerned today about the future. Many people are concerned about how will the world be? How will it be for our kids and grandkids? How will it be for me as I end my days and my seasons? The future for many seems like a scary and crazy moment of space in our heads. What will it be like? How will my life turn out? How will it be? What will it be? And for many people, how many of us have seen that there's so many wonderful people in our world that will turn to many different avenues to look for an answer. There is no greater answer than the Word of God right here. What will the future look like? You can open up and see exactly what the future is going to look like. And really, honestly, if you open it up and read it, you'll see things unfolding today. And in this minute and in this hour right now, there are things happening right now around this world as there are people who are seeking control of the entire world. Now, how many of us know, as men and women, we like to have control of our households, right? You have a house, you have a car, you have anything in your power, it is my house, my rules, my way, right? Well, there are people who the household is too small of a space for control. And so there are three groups out there in the world, you can Google them, you'll find them, who want control of our world. In this minute, in the minute that we live in right now, predicted in the Bible, men, people who are trying to take over our world. This is the future, and it's coming. It's nothing to be worried about, because how many of us know we serve and we know a big God? There is a future, and it's spoken about. What's going to happen? Read the Bible. Open it up and read. If you have your Bible app, go to Bible app, Joshua, the book of Joshua, chapter 2 of your Bible, starting in verse 1. Joshua secretly sent out two spies from the Israelite camp at the Acacia Street, at the Acacia Grove. He instructed them, scout out the land on the other side of the Jordan River, especially around Jericho. The two men set out and came to the house of a prostitute named Rahab and stayed there that night. Someone told the king of Jericho, some Israelites have come here tonight to spy out the land. So the king of Jericho sent orders to Rahab, bring out the men who've come into your house, for they've come here to spy out the whole land. Rahab had hidden the two men, but she replied, yes, the two men were here earlier, but I didn't know where they were from. Verse 5, they left the town at dusk as the gates were about to close. I don't know where they went. If you hurry, you can probably catch up with them. Actually, she'd taken them up to the roof and hidden them between the bundles of flax that she'd laid out. The king's men went looking for the spies along with the road leading to the shallow crossings of the Jordan River. As soon as the king's men had left, the gate of Jericho was shut. Before the spies went to sleep that night, Rahab went on the roof to talk with them. Verse 9. I know the Lord has given you this land, she told them. I know the Lord has given you this land. We're all afraid of you. We are all afraid of you. Everyone in this land is in living terror. We have heard how the Lord made a dry path for you through the Red Sea when you left Egypt. We know that you did to Sihon and Og, the two Amorite kings east of the Jordan River, whose people you've completely destroyed. No wonder our hearts have melted in fear. No one has the courage to fight after hearing such things. For the Lord your God is the supreme God of the heavens. For the Lord your God is the supreme God of the heavens, above and the earth below. Now swear to me by the Lord that you will be kind to me and my family, since I have helped you. Give me some kind of guarantee. Verse 13. When Jericho was conquered, that you will let me live along with my father, my mothers, my brothers, my sisters, their families. We offer our own lives to you as a guarantee for our safety. And the men agreed, if you don't betray us, we will keep our promise and be kind to you when the Lord gives us this land. Then since Rahab's house was built into the town wall, she let them down by a rope through the window. Escape to the hill country, she told them. Hide there for 3 days from the men searching for you. Then, when they have returned, you can go on your way. Verse 17. Before they left, the men told her, we will be bound by the oath we've taken, only if you follow these instructions. When we come into the land, you must leave this scarlet rope hanging from the window through which you let us down. And all your family members, your father, your mother, brothers, and all your relatives must be here inside the house. If they go out on the street and are killed, it will not be our fault. But if anyone lays a hand on people inside the house, we will accept the responsibility for their death. If you betray us, however, we are not bound by this oath in any way. I accept your terms, she replied. And she sent them on their way, leaving the scarlet rope hanging down from the wall. And so number one, as we start to break this down and understand, it's really important to understand this moment. This is a really, 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 really big deal. It's a really important moment. Life is built by important moments. Life is built on steps, moments, bricks, as we continue to build in life. And in this moment, it is really important to understand the moment. But to understand the moment, you have to rewind a little bit. So flip back in your Bible to Numbers chapter 13, verse 26. To Moses, Aaron, and the whole community of Israelite at Kadesh, the wilderness of Paran, they reported to the whole community what they'd seen and showed to them, the fruit that had been taken from the land. This was their report to Moses. We entered the land. You sent us to explore. And in indeed, it's a bountiful country, a land flowing with milk and honey. Here is the kind of fruit it produces. But the people are living there. They're powerful. Their towns are large and fortified. We even saw giants there, descendants of Anak. Verse 29, Numbers 13. The Amalekites living in the Negev, and the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites living in the hill country, the Canaanites that live along the coast of the Mediterranean Sea and along the Jordan Valley. But Caleb tried to quiet the people as they stood before Moses. Let's go at once and take the land. He said, we can certainly conquer it. The other men who had explored the land with him disagreed. We can't go up against them. They're stronger than we are. And so they spread this bad report about the land among the Israelites. The land we traveled through and explored, it will devour anyone who goes to live there. All the people we saw there, they were huge. We even saw giants there. The descendants of Anak, next to them, we felt like grasshoppers. We felt like grasshoppers. And that's what they thought too. The whole community began weeping aloud. They cried all night. Their voices rose in a great chorus of protest against Moses and Aaron. If only we had died in Egypt or even here in the wilderness, they complained. If only we had died. And so this morning, to understand this moment of our text, there was two spies. There was a lady named Rahab, and then there was this city called Jericho. Two spies, Jericho, and a lady named Rahab. And understanding this moment, you need to take a step back to understand the present moment, which happened 40 years ago, where 12 spies, not just two, 12 spies 40 years before, went in to spy the land. And as they spied the land, what happened? Their hearts became gripped with fear. The hearts of 10 men, 10 out of 12, it was gripped with fear. Everything that they imagined, everything that they saw, when a heart becomes consumed with fear, everything becomes bigger inside in our heart, our mind, and our soul. 10 men, when they saw the land. This was the land that God promised. This was the land that God had given to them. But when they saw the land, their hearts became afraid. And their hearts consumed with fear. Everything seemed big. They felt small. Everything seemed big. Their heart felt small. And they forgot what God had done. over and over again as fear was imagined in their mind and magnified, as fear shrunk in themselves, as fear erased and understood what God had done. Every single thing, they're important to understand, because what happened then, it is happening now, every single day. One of the greatest weapons that the enemy uses is fear. One of the greatest weapons that people use on TV, in politics, all around the weird world is what? It's fear. They know, so many people know they can control and manipulate with what? Fear. What does fear do? The minute you accept fear, it magnifies the situation. Fear magnifies. How many of us have ever... You know, when you're younger, you typically don't use reading glasses. The older you get, how many people use reading glasses? What do reading glasses do? Magnifies, right? And there's different glasses. How many of us know there's different strengths, right? Different strengths. The older we get, maybe we need a little bit more help, and then a little bit more help, and a little bit more help, and so we got to keep changing until we can see clearly. Fear does not allow you to see clearly. And so 40 years ago, before their text this morning, men did not see clearly and they did not seize the moment. Fear, when you accept it, it cripples your heart. And what does it cause us to do? It causes us to circle instead of moving forward. Failing to seize a God-given moment, failing to seize a God-given moment, 10 men changed a nation, which caused them to circle and waste 40 years of life. This morning, I pray and hope that none of us are stuck in a fear, that none of us are stuck in a rut, that none of us are in a moment, in a season where we're terrified, where we're worried about what happens next. I pray and I hope this morning that every one of us, that our hearts are full of strength and courage, knowing and trusting whatever God does, He's going to take care of me. Whatever is next, God has a plan. I don't need to be afraid. I don't need to be worried. This is in God's hands, because if we allow fear to cripple us, it's going to cause our life to just circle and circle and circle, just like it did back then. And in our text this morning, Joshua chapter 2, two spies. Turn to your neighbor and say, two spies were sent out this morning. Two spies. 12 couldn't get it right last time. This time, they sent out two spies. They wanted to find a space that was safe. So in the story, you might read this story, you might think it's a little odd and awkward. Where did they go? They went to an innkeeper's house. The innkeeper, she happened to be an innkeeper and a prostitute. And in the Bible, and in the beginning of the Bible, in Joshua chapter 2, these two men, they wanted to go to a place where maybe they wouldn't be questioned, maybe where people wouldn't look at them funny. Of course, they were looked at funny anyway. But they wanted to go where maybe they wouldn't be sought after, which that happened anyway. So they went into an innkeeper's house, which happened to be also a prostitute. And enters the story of a lady named Rahab, who lived in a city called Jericho. The city was strong. It was fortified. This city, it was surrounded by a massive wall. The city, these people, that no matter how big and how tough their wall was, there was something else in the air. How many of us remember just a couple weeks ago the fires that seemed to be all around us and the smoke that was in the air, ashes that were in the air? There was something in the air. In this moment in Jericho, there was something in the air. And so we take our text this morning, Joshua chapter 2, and these are the things that get unrolled. Number one, Rahab in this moment, she did not allow her past or present failures to stop her from a God-given future. Understanding, as you pause, listen carefully, Rahab did not allow her past, present failures to stop her from a God-given future. God had a plan for her. God had a plan for her family. God had a plan for brothers and sisters and mom and dad. God had a plan for them. She did not run from that because she had a terrible and horrible past. She, in the moment, seized this moment and said, I'm not going to allow what I've done and who I am to stop me from what God wants. Many times we as people, because we're so wonderful, we could spend a good amount of time constantly talking about others, constantly talking about what they do, constantly talking about mistakes that people have made in the past. That doesn't help, unfortunately, us or anybody else. What we need to learn to do is talk about, what does God want to do in this moment? What does God want to do in you? It's not what you've done. It's not what's been accomplished. It's not what's happened in the past. It's right now in this moment. What does God want to do in us right now? What does God want to do in me right now? What does God want to do right now and tomorrow? What does God want to use me for? What did God create me for? What is the purpose and plan right now and in this moment? God's forgiven us our past. God has forgiven us for mistakes that we made. God is a graceful, loving God that we come to know and serve. And it's wonderful that when we've asked for forgiveness, God says, I forgive you and I forget. So let's move past that. Let's move past guilt, shame, and let's move into the moment and say, God, right now, what is it you put me here? What is the task and the job that I have? We are never, ever, ever, ever retired from God's work until the day that we pass from this life into the next. God has a job and a purpose every single day. And so as we open up this story and as we unfold, one of the things that I love is this young lady, no idea how old she is, innkeeper, has kind of an odd lifestyle, but she doesn't allow the past mistakes or present failures to stop her from a God-given future. You know, it's amazing this morning, like me and Josh are going to get donuts for church, and there's these guys, and one of them, you know, usually, I mean, it's no, men sometimes are really bold when they want something, can I please have a donut? And the other two are just like, I hope so, I hope he does, you know? One guy, bold enough to ask, not knowing if I'm going to be a nice guy this morning, right? Not knowing if I'm caring enough, not knowing. Every single moment, every single day, there's moments of testing that God, am I going to give or am I just going to try and hold on to my stuff? Am I just going to try and give or can I give out a little bit? Do I just need to hold on and grip the moment or will I give? Isaiah 43:18 says, forget the former things. Don't dwell on the past. I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness. Streams in the wasteland. Isaiah 43:18, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. I'm doing a new thing. What is a new thing God wants to speak to you this morning? What's a new thing that God is saying to you this morning? Forget your past. Don't dwell on the past. Even the good of the past. Stop dwelling on the past. We all have lived through seasons. We've all lived through moments. But what is important now is this moment right here, right now. Because our world is shifting. Our world is changing. Our world is unfortunately coming to an end. We are in a season of the end. And because we're in a season of the end, we have to stand up and say, God, help me to stop being distracted. God, help me to not be stuck in fear. God, help me not to be stuck on the past and the things that I've done. But God, help me to dive into this moment, to the moment you want me to live right now. God, come and speak. So Isaiah 43:18, forget former things. Don't dwell on the past. I'm doing something new. It springs up. Don't you perceive it? I'm making the way in the wilderness, streams in the wasteland. 2 Corinthians 5:17, this means anyone who belongs to Christ is a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. All of this is a gift from God who bought us back to himself through Christ Jesus. The minute your heart says, God, forgive me and come into my life, bam, I'm a new person. The minute we talk with someone at the store, the minute we talk with someone on the street and say, you need to ask God in your life, they can have an opportunity to become a new person, just like we have. Just like we have. We can look at, like the men this morning, who are begging for a donut and see all their past mistakes. They don't want to work. They don't want to do anything. They make this town dirty. And it's how we perceive it. Through the glasses of love, or maybe through the glasses of pride and arrogance of what we have accomplished. We look at people every single moment, and we can judge two ways. Do I see that man who looks like he's had a horrible life? Or I put on the glasses of love and say, wow, maybe he just needs a little kindness today. Maybe he needs the love of God today. maybe he needs to be shown something different than someone who just keeps passing by and says, nope, I don't have anything for you. God has put us on this earth to be givers. God has put us on this earth to be lovers of every single person who walks this planet. God does not have favorites, so he's not asking us to carry any favorites either. God does not have favorites. He blesses and he loves every single person the same. Just not everyone chooses to pick up that and choose to be blessed. We can't hold people's past and mistakes and failures against them, but what we can do is step into a moment and say, God, what do you have for them in the future? What do you have for them in the future? God has something new for all of us. God has new beginnings. God has new steps. God has new doors. God has new ways. For who? For all of us. And let not the past and let not the present hold us back from what God wants to do in the future. Philippians 3:13 says, dear brothers and sisters, I've not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing. I forget the past and I look forward to what lies ahead. Dear brothers and sisters, I've not achieved it. I focus on this one thing. Forget the past. Forget the past. Look forward to what lies ahead. Press on. Press on to reach the end of the race. Receive the heavenly prize for which God through Christ Jesus is calling us. So number one in this moment, Rahab let go of her past and her present failures to accept a new destiny, a God-given destiny. Number two, Rahab took a risk for a God that she barely knew. Rahab took a risk for a God that she barely knew. It's something she just heard about. It was just something, it's like the game of telephone, something that was passed down through people, passed down from one person telling another person, passed down from another person. She meets two guys. She has barely a conversation. And what does she do? She's willing to take a risk for a small amount of faith in God and the two guys that were there. It reminds me of Proverbs 3:5. Trust in God with all your heart. Don't depend on what you know. Seek God in all you do, and he will show you the path to take. And Rahab, in this moment, she said, I'm going to take a risk. I'm going to lie, which isn't good, but I'm going to lie to save these two spies. I'm going to stand up. I'm going to take a risk. I'm going to defend these two guys. I'm going to hide these two guys. I'm going to allow these two guys to live. Why? Because God has a plan for this moment. God has a plan for me. God has a plan for my family. So it's willing to take a risk. How many of us are risk takers? Risk is never really comfortable. Taking a risk, taking a chance, stepping out in faith, never comfortable. But to take risk is right. Better to risk our lives than to waste them. Better to risk your life than to waste it. I don't know about you, but life seems to be moving at light speed faster than it ever has before. It is moving so quick. If you blink your eyes for too long, man, you're going to miss a day, a year, a week. I promise you, it is moving really, 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 really fast. And it's better this morning to say, you know what? Am I risking my life or am I wasting my life? It's more right to risk your life for Jesus, for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul says in Philippians 3:6, I'm zealous, and that's okay, I'm harshly persecuted for the church. And as for righteousness, I obey the law without fault. I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared to the value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. Apostle Paul, a man who was trained from the best of the best, a man who studied the first five books of the Bible, a man who was studied, he was trained, he was educated. When he got out on his own, what did he want to do? He wanted to kill Christians because he thought they were disobeying the law, the Bible. He thought it was okay to murder human beings because they were disobeying the Bible. Paul wanted to kill Christians because they wanted to follow Jesus. Paul wanted to murder and imprison Christians because they're following Jesus, and he thought they were disobeying the first five books of the Bible. This man gets converted, and what did he become? My heart. He took the risk. He said, I'm willing to lose everything for the sake of preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. If we were to compare, now we compare ourselves, right? Let's be honest. We see TV, we see commercials, we see people driving down the street, we look on social media, clothes and food and eating and restaurants and cars and motorcycles and houses that people have. How many of us honestly have ever compared and say, ah, it'd be nice to have that? Have you ever compared yourself with Christianity? Does my faith come close to Apostle Paul? A man who was beaten a number of times, a man who was shipwrecked, a man who was beaten up, hit with the rod, a man who was whipped. Would I take that risk? Could I say, my life, it means nothing. It means nothing. The only thing that means anything to me now is preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. We can compare ourselves in clothes. We can compare ourselves in cars. We can compare ourselves with our bank accounts. But at the end of the day, when you die, and all of that means absolutely nothing. Number three, God uses those with little faith to do big things. He said, Matthew 17:20, he said, I tell you the truth, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you could say this mountain, move from here to there, and it would move. Nothing would be impossible. Rahab in the moment, what did she do? Remember, she took a risk. She forgot her past. And now she's exercising just a little bit of faith. But what did that little faith do? It saved her from judgment. It saved her family from judgment. She exercised a little bit of faith. And that's all God is asking for. If you give me a little bit of faith, I can do big things. If you give me a little bit, if you're willing to stretch a little bit, if you allow yourself to believe and grow, all you have to do is give me, Jesus said, a little faith, as small as a mustard seed, and what? I will do big, big things. Mark 11:23, I tell you the truth, you can say this mountain, may you be lifted up, thrown into the sea, and it will happen. You must really believe in your heart it will happen, and do not doubt. I tell you, you can pray for anything, and if you believe you received it, it will be yours. Faith that moves mountains. Faith that moves mountains. Just a little bit of faith. Rahab exercised and had a little bit of faith, risk, trust. And because of it, her life was spared. Do we have a little bit of faith so that God can take that faith and do great things? John 14:12, I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works that I've done and even greater things because I'm going to be with the Father. You can ask for anything in my name and I will do it so that Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask for me anything in my name and I will do it. Number four, this morning in our text, we see the results of obedience. Listen to the words that Rahab said to the two spies. I know the Lord has given you this land. She told them, we're all afraid of you. Everyone in the land is living in terror. For we've heard how the Lord made a dry path for you through the Red Sea when you left Egypt. Know that what you did to the Sihon and Og, the two Amorite kings east of the Jordan River, whose people you completely destroyed. No wonder our hearts have melted in fear. No one has the courage to fight after hearing such things. For the Lord your God is the supreme God of the heavens above the earth. Look at the results. This is a different result than what happened last time. 12 men were sent in to spy the land. 12 men were sent in to spy the land. And 10 came back and said, we are completely terrified. There is nothing that we can do. 40 years later, you fast forward, as they get into the land, what is the two spies hearing? These people are terrified. These people are afraid of us. They know what God does. They know that our God is big. Listen, she said, your God is the supreme God. There is only one God. There is only one God in heaven and on the earth. And it's your God. He opened up the Red Sea. He parted the ways. He's giving you victory in battle. Listen to what the enemy was saying to the spies. The results were different. Why were the results different? Because at this moment, the Jewish community, they allowed their faith to grow. Genesis 12:1 says, God said to Abraham, leave your country, your relatives, your father's family. Go to the land that I'm going to show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I'm going to make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. I'm going to bless those who bless you. I'm going to curse those who treat you with contempt. Galatians 3:26 says, You're all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. All who've been united with Christ in the baptism and put on Christ, like putting on new clothes. There's no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Now that you belong to Christ, you are the true children of Abraham. You are his heirs. And God promised Abraham, it also belongs to you. God promised Abraham what? I'm going to bless you, and anyone who curses you, I'm going to take care of. We saw that in our text today. We saw that in our text today. The Jewish people, when they finally learned to obey, when they finally started to get it, it takes faith and trust and hope in God. It takes obedience to do the right thing. And if I put my faith and hope and trust in God and I'm obedient, God is going to bless me. God is going to make a way where there seems no way. God will open the doors. God will do that. And God is going to help take care of even our enemies. Number five, allowing faith, trust, and obedience to God a chance to grow. This is one of the greatest things to ask ourselves. Am I giving myself a chance to grow in God? When we come to church, it's one of the things to pray for. God, increase my faith today. God, as I listen to the Bible, God, increase my faith. God, help me to believe and take another step in believing. God, help me to believe a little bit more. God, may my little seed of faith grow today. God, when I go to bed and I wake up tomorrow, God, help my faith to grow. God, I pray this morning. I pray tomorrow. I pray this week. God, help my faith to grow. Help me to grow my faith, my trust, and my obedience to you. There was a different outcome because men and women learn to obey. Colossians 2:7 says, let your roots grow down in God and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught. You will overflow with thankfulness. Don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies, high-sounding nonsense that come from human thinking and from spiritual powers of this world. I love, listen to Paul as he's speaking to Colossians. Don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense. There's a lot of high-sounding nonsense out there today. There are so many people who are full of darkness and evil who want us to live distracted, fearful, horrible lives. High-sounding nonsense. This was written a couple thousand years ago, and he knew even then today how many people are still being distracted and led away by philosophies and high-sounding nonsense. Teachers and scholars and politicians, doctors, people on social media who are what? Leading Christians, believers astray with what? High-sounding nonsense that comes from human thinking, from the spiritual powers of this world rather than from Christ. God this morning, one of the most important things, has given us an opportunity to grow, to exercise our faith, to exercise our trust, to exercise our obedience in him. 1 Peter 2:1 says, get rid of all evil behavior. Be done with deceit, hypocrisy, jealousy, unkind speech. Like newborn babies, you must crave spiritual milk so that you can grow into the full experience of salvation. 1 Peter, like a newborn baby, crave pure spiritual milk so that you can grow into the full experience of salvation. The full experience of salvation. The full experience. Have I given myself to the full experience of salvation? Have I given myself for this word? Have I given myself for the text? Have I given myself for the red letters of what Jesus said? Have I given myself for the story in the Old Testament that remind me, encourage me, and inspire me to be what God's put me here to be? Have I given myself an opportunity and a chance to grow? Have I given myself the opportunity to continue to grow and grow? 1 Corinthians 13:11 says, when I was a child, I spoke, I thought, and I reasoned like a child. But when I grew up, I put away childish things. Now we see things imperfectly, like puzzling reflections in a mirror. But then we will see everything with perfect clarity. All that I know is partial and incomplete. But everything I know one day will be complete, just as God knows me completely. Three things will last forever: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. So this morning, as we start to wrap up, I think today many people, spiritually and physically, are being hijacked and kidnapped. hijacked and kidnapped. And what are they being hijacked and kidnapped by? Fear, the future, the present, certain outcomes, by my past mistakes, the lies that we believe in about ourselves, my mistakes, guilt, shame, laziness, enemy, demons, the lies, excuses. I can't do this. I can't go here. I can't do this. I can't get up. It's too hard to get up. I can't go here. I can't do it again. I can't. The enemy, you know how good sometimes the enemy can be? He tricks so many people into thinking, you can't give up this thought about yourself. You can't give up this one thing, because if you do, it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you. You can't give up guilt and shame. You need to hold on to it. You can't give up fear. You need to hold on to it. You can't give up your past mistakes. You need to hold on to them. You can't give up the good old days. You can't give up the good old days, the good old days, and all the good things you did. You can't give up those things, because if you give them up, it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you. It's going to cost you. And you know what the devil forgets? The price and the cost, it's already been paid. Jesus, 2,000 years ago, when God sent his only son into the world, Jesus Christ, to become the sacrifice and sin offering for us, everything's been paid for. Have you ever gone into a restaurant, sat down, and ordered food, and you go to pay the bill, and they say, you know what, someone's already taken care of it. It's been paid for. I can remember a couple years ago, Valentine's Day, we were all home, me, Kim, and our kids. We're like, let's get some Chili's to go for Valentine's. Sounds lovely. And I get there, I place the order, 30 minutes, I get there, and when I get there, all the lights, the power off, I'm like, what's going on here? And so someone comes out, the lady says, sorry, the power was shut off, somebody ran into the thing here in the front, and we have nothing. Like, I placed it 30 minutes ago, is there any way you can just check, because maybe it came in before the power went out? She goes in the back, she comes out with like four bags and says, yes, here it is, but I have no way to charge you, and so it's free. So our $130 order from Chili's that day was 100% free. It was paid for. Well, we forget every single day, because the devil, as soon as you wake up, the devil starts lying to you. Past mistakes, guilt, shame, fear that he wants you to embrace, distractions that we're going to face through the day. He lies constantly. And what we forget and what we sometimes don't remember, every single thing I'm about to face, it's been paid for. It's been taken care of. I serve a big God. I know a big God. He is bigger than every single thing that I see on this planet. My God is big, and nothing is impossible with him. He has paid for me. He has paved the way. God paid the price in Jesus Christ. Don't allow the enemy to hold you mentally captive. God loves you. God has a purpose for you. God has a plan for you. Jeremiah 20:11, I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. They're plans for good, not for disaster. To give you a future, not a hope. In those days, you pray, and I'm going to listen. You will look for me wholeheartedly, and then you find me. Psalms 139:16, you saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of the sand. And when I wake up, God, you are with me. God has a purpose for you. God has a plan for you. God has a place of blessing, as he promised the Jewish community as they get ready to go into their place of promise. God has something special for every one of us. God has a plan. God has purpose holding them right here. And he knows every single one of our days, the hairs on our head, our days, our life. It's planned out. Just the question is, like for the Jewish community, those who didn't want it, they died in the wilderness. Those who didn't want the plan died in the wilderness. But those who grew up learning to believe and trust and obey, they were about to enter into the place of promise. And I wonder how close is a blessing that is just around the corner for you. And I wonder how close there is something big that God has for you. And he's saying, it is right here. It's right here. But my question is, 1 Corinthians 9:25, All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize, to fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. I run with purpose in every step. I'm not shadow boxing, so I discipline my body like an athlete, training to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear, after preaching, I could be disqualified. All that God has for you, all that God wants for you, all that you honestly want for yourself, it starts by saying, am I all in? For the men and women who were all in Joshua, they took the place promised. And are you all in, completely to what God has for you? Because if you're not all in, you're never going to get it. If you're not completely 100% all in, you will never, ever get and find what you're looking for. It doesn't happen. And I end with this last story. Jesus, when he got to this earth, when he grew up and became a man, as he's sitting around, he's about to begin his public ministry, he goes to some people who were fishing on the Sea of Galilee, and there were some guys there, and he says, hey, come follow me, and I'll make you fishermen of men instead of fishing for fish. And it says that these men dropped their nets, and they followed Jesus Christ. In the picture and in the text and in the Greek language there, when those men dropped their nets to follow Jesus, they left their family, they left their income, they left every single thing. They dropped it. It says that when you follow a rabbi, you have to give up your whole entire life for that rabbi. And the way the rabbi does things and the teachings of the rabbi, the description in the Greek text, that those men, when they said, we're dropping our nets and we're following you, they gave up everything because they were all in. Are we all in this morning to God's word? Are we all in to his future plans and what God's about to do next? Or have we been hijacked and kidnapped by fear? We saw in our text this morning that someone was willing to take risks for a God that she barely knew. She was willing to step out and do something different. She was not afraid. She was willing to take risks. She was willing to allow faith, just a little bit of faith, to grow and increase. For this person, she was willing to forget the past. And it was bad. Her past was bad. And what she was doing in the present, because of a better future ahead. God has something better for every one of us. God has something bigger and greater. What did he say? If you believe in me, what will you do? Greater things. If you believe in me, what will you do? Greater things. And the only thing, the requirement, to be all in. Are you all in this morning? Are you all in? Do you want to see something bigger, greater? Do you want to see God's blessing and his hand move in our life? Are we all in? Let's pray.